Hauser and Alderman Rose present. City staff, we have City Administrator Bart Olson, we have Public Works Director Eric DeHoos, and City Engineer Brad Sanderson, and Marvis is here to take our notes. There is no citizen comments, it sounds like, so we will move on to minutes for correction approval for June 16th, 2020. Any questions?
Looks good.
Okay, all in favor, aye. All in favor, aye. Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Opposed? Good. Passed. New business. Item 1, PW 2020-40 Capital Improvement Summary.
All right, it's just the typical quarterly update, only a handful of projects to report on. I could probably just quickly run through those. So the water treatment plant work at the 8 and 9 facilities, that is complete. If you recall, there were some coating issues. The coating issues have been addressed. Everything is back and operational on this particular project. The Road to Better Roads program is also substantially complete. We just have to follow up with some restoration when things cool down a bit and we get toward the end of August, and then that'll be wrapped up. And then on the design or planning side, Mill Road, as you know, that's been complete. The design has been about 95% complete for quite some time, and we've been dealing with the railroads lately, and all agreements have been approved. We're still waiting just one to be submitted to the city for execution, but we'll be doing that here shortly. And then the private utilities supposedly will be done by the end of this month. So we're in good shape to move that project to the next step when the funding becomes finalized. And then the striping program, that's on tonight's agenda, a little bit further down, but moving that forward here shortly, if you all agree to approving the resolution. And that is it today.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Item 2, PW 2020-41, Quarterly Bond and Letter of Credit Reduction Summary.
Yeah, really quick update here. There's been no activity in this particular quarter, so you can see by the summary just a couple reductions thus far this year. We do anticipate a pickup in that activity over the last half of the year.
Questions?
How many, I know this is the reduction report. Do we know how many LLCs we have sitting out there approximately?
Yeah, we do track that, Chris. I'd say 20 to 25. I can follow up with a more accurate number once we look at our spreadsheet, but that's a pretty good guess, I would say.
All right, yeah, I know we see this one, but I lose track of which ones we do have, so. No problem, thank you.
You bet.
If there's no other questions, we'll move on to item number 3, PW 2020-42, Kendall Marketplace, and this is for a plat of abrogation.
Thanks, Ken. The developers of the Kendall Marketplace project, the commercial area, would like to abandon several public utility easements. This is something that was foreseen when they updated the plat about 6 months or so ago, and they just got around to getting the signatures from the private utilities and have now submitted that to us. So. You know, we're certainly in support of the removal of the easements. City utilities are not planned or existing in this area, so we do recommend moving forward with approval of the plat.
Any questions?
Don't see any issue with it.
Siever?
Go ahead with it.
Okay. So that goes to the City Council?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Item 4. PW 2020-43, MFT Resolution for 2020 Striping Program.
Yes, moving forward with the reduced budget for the striping program. BART had recommended we target $25,000. So we are proceeding. This is using MFT funds. So therefore, you've seen this resolution as required. The area that is targeted is around the Menards site. Several streets related to that, a number of concrete streets. The striping, as you know, is poor in that area and definitely needs a refresh. So that's where we will be concentrating this money.
And that reduction was from, what, 60,000, Mark, is what you told me earlier?
60 or 65. Mm-hmm.
To 25,000.
Correct.
Any questions?
If I could.
Sure.
So this is striping. Does this include any removal of the striping in terms of grinding? And what type of striping are we going with? Is this paint or is this the thermoplastic? What type of material are we doing?
We're specifying the urethane paint, which is what is touted now as the best for concrete. With the, you know, the thermoplastic, with it being raised even that very little bit, the snow plows tend to take that off on concrete, and then regular paint just does not stick. Mm-hmm. The urethane is, I believe, like a 2 or 3 part process that we do not have the machinery to use or to apply it. So that's why we're actually contracting this one out. And I don't think there's any blasting necessary on this one because I believe we painted the last couple of times as well. So there's no, I don't think there's any thermoplastic left.
Is that good, Chris?
I lost the last part of that response. I apologize.
Oh, no problem. This is paint. I don't know if there's any pavement marking removal in there. I believe most of it is paint now. I don't think there's any thermoplastic left. So we would just be applying new urethane paint.
Any other questions? You good, Chris, or?
I think his connection is going in and out.
Yeah. Siever, are you good?
I'm good.
All right, I would say proceed, Chris. Touch base with Chris after, if he has any other questions because of the lag.
Will do.
Okay.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Yep. Item 5, PW 2020-44, Beaver Street Booster Pump Station. A, it's an engineering agreement. B, recommendation for improvements.
Okay, so I'll take the first part of this, and then I can turn it over to Brad and Eric to talk about the progression of the what was going to be a standby electric generator at the Raintree water treatment plant, if I remember correctly. But the City Council has already approved a design contract for us to move forward with that Raintree project. And for reasons that Eric and Brad will get into, we've decided to stop that design process, and so they've come up with an alternative solution for the Beaver Street booster pump that'll be within budget. So in order to do that, we now need a design contract with EEI to be entered into so that we can get to the point where we can then bid out and proceed with that project. So the actual action item in front of you for recommendation of the City Council is the engineering contract, which is in the packet. Off the top of my head, I believe it was just shy of $50,000. And as I'm talking, I'm going to click on my own memo here. $47,762. And we do recommend the City Council approve the contract with EEI. So with that, I'll turn it over to Brad and Eric to talk a little bit about the Raintree backup generator and then how this is now being recommended.
Okay.
want me to go first?
Sure.
All right. With we last fiscal year, we actually looked into putting a backup generator at Raintree, which was actually proposed when we built the treatment plant back in the early 2000s. But for financial reasons at the time, we did not put in the backup generator. We put in a transfer switch and some electric gear to handle the generator, but not the actual generator. So fast forward approximately 15 years, we started diving into this project. And when we, after we approved the contract with EEI for the engineering, we got about probably, I'd say, a third of the way into the research and found that this project was going to be just shy of $1 million instead of $350,000. This was due to electrical gear that is now 15 years old, that's out of date and out of service, and the increase in the generator cost and just the general wiring, new wiring that we would have to do to get a semi-sized generator from the generator power to the building. So to still be able to move water from north to south, we found that the Beaver Street pump station was our only Achilles heel if the power was up. We have a booster pump at Raintree already that'll pump water up to the south tower, but we have no way of getting it from, say, the well four site to Raintree because that is two pressure zones away. So by putting the Beaver Street generator there and going through those pumps and making sure those pumps are okay, that's part of this project as well. This will allow us, if we have a long-term disaster or a well go down, let's say on well seven, we will be able to move water all the way from, even from wells eight and nine, all the way through the system to the Raintree top. That is the layman's version. Did I miss anything, Brad?
I don't think so. I think you hit the highlights and covered the detail.
And this is much more within the scope of the budget. This is under half. I believe this is $400,000 and change, I believe. I would have to
look at
the memo.
So essentially, this is pretty close to with the engineering and the actual putting the pump, the backup generator in, we're pretty close to what we budgeted for.
For well seven, yeah. We I believe it's almost $500,000 by the time we do the engineering and everything, but I think we were at $400,000 last year for the well seven, which we thought was $400,000, which turned into almost $1 million.
Okay. Do I have any other questions, Chris?
Were the that estimate, was that based on engineers' numbers, or was that some kind of soft bid for pricing, or based on
numbers? So we figured that we did not plan on replacing all of the electric switch gear that was there. We thought the electric switch gear would still be useful. EEI and our water department, we brought out a high voltage engineer, and he said, no way. He said, this stuff has been sitting too long, it's not been used, and it's way out of date.
So if we go ahead with this and we deal with this at the Beaver Street facility, is there any need to do this generator at any time at well 7 then?
In the near future, no. The only, and if the mid future, unless we get all the growth in Yorkville on the south end of town, I could not foresee that. Right now, that water tower, if we fill it up, lasts 3 days. So if we have an emergency longer than that, we can always pump through the Beaver Street station. And say we have that well taken out of service, we can pump through that Beaver Street station. But right now, we can't take that well out of service without this Beaver Street pump station.
Okay. So the Beaver Street will deal with any south side catastrophic issues in order to keep water flowing in the reservoir.
Yes.
For an extended period of time.
Yeah, but yes, what we would do is we would change the level so it would almost be a constant pumping. We wouldn't let the levels get too far down just because the Beaver Street booster pumps are not near as big as what a well is. So we would have to adjust that pumping to just have almost a constant flow through there and we would use the South Central Tower, the one behind the South Dunkin' Donuts, almost like an intermediary storage. And then we'd empty the big one and then fill from that South Central Tower.
Okay. So we're basically just able to move it from north to south, mitigating the fact that we just don't have a well. We won't have the use of well 7, basically, if it goes down.
Yep, we took that.
What we're doing, we're just kind of
service, did our modeling and kind of walked through it with Brad's folks, and we figured out that this was our crux, this was our Achilles heel that we needed to fix first.
So on the contract that we already had, two-part question, how much was that contract, and how much did we expend on that contract?
That I don't know. That's Brad or Bart. Do you guys have that answer?
I do not off the top of my head. We certainly could pull that data together and provide it.
Okay. Yeah, for the council, before that, if we could have that, I'd like to know how much we had budgeted for the, or how much we approved on the contract and how much was actually spent. Since now we're going to enter into a new contract to do this one, kind of scrapping the rest of that, so I want to see how much we're into the project already. So, but the actual scope of the improvements is on par with what we expected. That's what we're saying, $400,000.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I don't recall the timeline on this study, the engineering.
Well, we're prepared to jump on it immediately. So there is a schedule attached to our professional services agreement. So basically, it looks like we'd be wrapping up design and permitting by the end of October. And then if agreed to by the council, moving into bidding and contracting with the potential to start construction toward the end of November, first part of December, and then wrapping up probably by the end of the fiscal year.
The reason that blue, the construction work items are go from November to May is we have built in some ComEd lead time. They tend to move very slow on these kind of issues.
Okay. So by the end of the first quarter 2021, we could see completion.
Yep.
It should be nice to have that done for the well-being of the water system.
You have no idea.
That's all I have.
Beaver?
No, I'm good so far.
Okay. I just had one general question, Eric. Do we have like a truck with some type of portable generator system that you can use anywhere?
No. We used to have one for our lift stations. But what we have is we have the number for what used to be Patent Cat, but it's now Altimer Cat. And just have an emergency agreement with them. We have a 24-hour number, and they can bring us. And they'll bring the electrician to hook it up. That's the important part. Okay. Yeah.
I just wondered if there was another backup in case something happened to this.
Yes. As far as like right now, if it were to happen right now, we at least have 3 days of water basically in those two tanks that we could.
Right.
So we would have 3 days to find a generator, a portable generator, and get it hooked up at Beaver Street that pumps the water.
Okay. That was the only question I had.
One quick follow-up on that, as we're talking about the 3 days on the south side. What were to happen if we lose well 7 and for some reason we lose one of the wells on the north side, say 3 or one of the others that are feeding?
We would honestly do then is we would first put out the press release that there would be no excess use of water whatsoever. And then we would open up the PRV station on Cannonball, which would allow the flow from 8 and 9 and both the North Towers, which are 2.25 million gallons, or 2.75 million gallons of storage. And then we were 2.5 million gallons. Then we would be able to just keep those pumps running, flow the water back down into the central zone, and then boost it out to 7.
Okay. So if we have two catastrophic failures, we can still manage.
It is limping. You're very much limping because we would only have one well on at a time, but it would just be on. That's all it would be, and we would try to catch up at night and just keep the well on
Okay, if there's no other questions, I guess take it to City Council, Bart.
Yep.
Before it goes. Okay. Item number six. PW 2020-45, why the National Mayor's Challenge for Water Conservation.
All right, we've participated in the Wyland National Mayor's Challenge each year for the past couple years, and the challenge has changed. In general, this is more of a public information campaign for the city. It doesn't cost us anything to participate. This is really an informational item just to get everybody really excited about pledging to save water. So residents go to the website, they commit to doing certain things, and then all the Yorkville residents at the end of the challenge will be compared in number and types of pledges to other towns nationwide. So we've ranked pretty highly throughout the nation for our population size the past few years, which is good. And this year, there's no gift card or car that gets raffled off to somebody individually, but there are prizes that can be donated actually to the charity of the person's choice or to the town or nonprofit of the person's choice. So it's a good thing. Anything that you know, is low cost and can help people you know, make good water decisions is a good thing.
Okay, questions?
No questions. My only thought, we do get the information back as to the results from our community, correct? The individuals?
I believe so, although I don't think that I've ever looked at them myself, but I remember Aaron saying something about that.
The reason I ask is my thought, as there are no prizes this year, might be nice if there was something that maybe the city could do, a small gift card to, you know, top water saver for the community for us.
Look into it.
Yeah, and even if nothing else, if you recognize the person, people that do it, that's better than nothing at all.
I'm not sure that we get the individual data, like who's taking it, so I don't know that we could do that unless people self-report. But I thought you were asking more about, like, at the end of the survey, it's like, you know, 75% of Yorkville residents chose to do X, you know, to use it, run the dishwasher with, you know, an eco button or format.
I guess I always thought it was more, there was more of a recognition for individuals that, but I just don't remember. Yeah.
I'll take a look.
Okay. Saber? You good? Okay. Item number seven, PW 2020-46, Rebuild Illinois Grants Program Application.
All right, so we've got a nice long memo and a bunch of materials from Aaron, Brad, and Eric. And Aaron, Brad, and Eric have been, you know, really running point on this. So I'm kind of just filling in for Aaron here as far as describing it. But so the City Council has told us to move forward with the Eldomain Infrastructure Extension Project and the East Alley in the Downtown Infrastructure Replacement Project. So Eldomain, remember, there's no water and sewer all the way out to Eldomain, so we're looking at industrial properties out there, which has been a highly ranked goal for the City Council over the past few years. And then the East Alley is the replacement of a water main that is both just well past its useful lifespan, but is also located in an area which is not ideal to allowing you know, future development of the rear of the East Alley properties on 47 there. So, and again, we did pre-analyze both of these applications and determined that they probably were not likely to make the final cut, but that the cost of staff time and EEI's hours to do so was going to be relatively minimal going forward, so we figured we'd give it a shot. So the East Alley one is the easiest. It is proceeding forward with no further action by the City Council until the July 28th City Council meeting, where we will hold a public hearing and then probably take a vote of ratification, even though it is not required by the grant application. The cost estimate for that project is just a little bit under $1 million. which makes us eligible to apply for a 100% Rebuild Illinois grant for this project. So there's no penalty for us not kicking in any local match. So that was good. And so we'll do the public hearing at the next city council meeting, take the vote, submit the project, and proceed forward with water and sewer main improvements that will allow us to redevelop the FS property and Farm Bureau property there, which are ripe to go. So that's that. That one's the easy one. Does anybody have any questions about that project, about the layout or anything specifically?
So Bart, I just had one other one. So once we do this, that would allow the rowdies and those people there, they could actually put a deck off the back of their buildings. Because before they couldn't be permanent deck there because of this, right? And so this would allow them or not?
That's the concept. I don't know if we've gotten that far in the design process because we kind of just eyeballed it, right, for the map.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
So that would be the goal, is to move it as far east as possible or to a location that would allow us to do that. So, and then we did actually include the electric lines to be buried there, even though those aren't there. So I neglected to mention that. I'm sorry.
No, no issues with the East Alley.
Seaver?
Looks good.
I'm good with the East Alley.
Okay,
Mark?
L Domain is the stickier one. So the cost of running water and sewer utilities out to the area where we would like to be developed is around $5 million. Let's use a nice round number there. The maximum grant award is $2 million, which means, you know, we would have to fund a $3 million gap in one way or another in order to see the project through to completion. So there is a penalty for not having a local match. It's a point penalty, so like our score goes down even further. But then additionally, practically there's not really a way to, you know, run $2 million worth of infrastructure out there. You would get maybe half of the way, or you would do one of the pipes three quarters of the way. So that is kind of out of the question. So normally we would say in this type of scenario, this is important to us, we're going to try for it and then make the decision, you know, if we get the grant, as long as there isn't a penalty. And for this type of a grant, there isn't a penalty if we get it and then decline it at a later date. Except as part of the grant application, it requires a city council vote. It requires a statement of how you're going to pay for whatever the gap is between the project budget and the grant award. And then there may be a requirement, which we're still trying to figure out, to actually notify the state that we're going to bond for the project if that's how we're going to use funds, which we probably would. And so we're trying to make sure that there isn't a legal obligation to complete that bond process and actually take those funds as part of this grant application. So, you know, if we just have to tell the state we're going to put up $3 million at some point as part of this, but, you know, we're not actually going to sell the bond yet, then that may be okay. So we're trying to figure that out. So the technicality of that aside, because I can anticipate there being some issues with it, obviously, if there's we have to pass, like, a portion of a bond ordinance and then start the process. You know, what does everybody think about verbally and then in writing committing to funding a $3 million project out of $5 million, knowing that you could then potentially back out of it at a later date?
I'll let you go first, Chris, if you want.
This is a project I definitely want to see us continue with. I know it's a lot of money and we don't have necessarily a plan for the $3 million. But if there is our no harm, no foul as points that we're talking about, I'd like to see us try to figure a way to move this forward. I know without utilities, this area is not going to go for industrial. I mean, we know that. So if we need to look at finding a way to do it, I know this is not the best financial time to be doing it, but maybe we can make the commitment and not have to actually do the bonds. That's kind of my thought. So I'd like us to continue a little further and see what happens.
Just along those lines, too, and I don't know if this has been put in writing or stated publicly, but you know, there was a pretty heavy economic development effort by the state last year, which we were a finalist of probably 5 to 10 Illinois sites, and then compared to the Midwest. And so they were asking questions. It was going to be a data center. They were asking questions about utilities, and you know, they didn't think that it was a big deal at the time, even though there was, you know, $5+ million cost there, because the amount of water that they were going to be used for cooling was probably going to pay for the sewer line itself over like a year and a half. It was going to be that quick of an ROI. But it was a question. And then the project ended up going to DeKalb. So this is a Facebook data center, which is like an $800 million project. So, you know, the state being relatively well positioned with tax incentives for data centers, which are high electrical and water users, I think puts this area in a pretty good position going forward. So sorry for the interruption there, but thought that was relevant.
I don't want to shortchange ourselves on this type of a project. We've had several interested parties out here. The utilities are what hamstring us every single time. So if we get going in on this one, maybe we'll find a way that, you know, there is state money further down the road to help facilitate it once a developer actually is on the hook.
Lieber?
I'm not ready to go one way or the other on this yet. I really need to hear more. I think there's just a lot of questions out there, and right now I'm just totally undecided.
Okay. I kind of feel like Chris was saying there, I would want us to be able, if we were to say, okay, we're going to bond it, that's what we decided to do, is there a way of recapturing, you know, if we got a user or something to pay off the bond a lot sooner than, because the bond would be, what, 20 years or something?
Probably. Yeah, that's fair. So the answer to your question about recapture is yes, it would be legally permissible to do so. It would be a policy decision for the city council. So the other option too, which I don't think is out of the question, is, you know, and I know that this grant is, you're supposed to turn it around and build it within, you know, a matter of a couple of years, I think, is you might have somebody that as a result of the utility extension says, okay, I'm not going to do a, you know, $800 million data center or anything, but, you know, I'm going to put up an industrial park and I've got one user, and so that, you know, project makes this possible. So, you know, they might be willing to eat a portion of our local share just to get, you know, the utilities out there. So I don't have anybody in mind. There isn't a tenant,
right.
But I'm just saying that I could see that as being a, you know, another potential alternative.
Yeah, if we were going to bond it, I'd kind of like to see something in place that we get users, we can recoup some of that.
Okay.
So, Bart, this goes to council discussion?
I guess that'd be my recommendation, to throw it on the city council agenda, at least for discussion in the context of, you know, comparing it to the other project, which is, you know, I think a little bit more concrete and doesn't require a local match. And then if for some reason between now and next Tuesday, we end up getting the information from the state about whether we have to commit to the bonds, you know, if you know, all those other technical questions in the application that I had mentioned, if those get resolved, then I can give everybody an update at the meeting.
So then come next Tuesday, we would probably, I'm assuming everybody's going to want to do the alley, so that one would get actually voted to move forward, and then this one, depending on the discussion, could or could not at that point?
Yeah, so the El Domain project will also require a public hearing at some point. So that would be the next action for the El Domain project would be to say you're comfortable enough with it that we can put out the public notice to do the public hearing. So not even actually committing to the application yet.
Okay. Any other questions with this one? If not, we'll move on to item 8. PW 2020-47 sewer ordinance update.
All right, Aaron's got a nice memo in the packet that describes the kind of reorganization and changes of the sewer code, similar to how we reorganized the water code a few years ago. This is more of a wholesale cleanup for correct terminology, correct procedures that we currently follow, and less of a change in anything that we're doing policy-wise or operation-wise. So, whereas the water, for those that remember, did have a fair amount of procedural changes, fee changes, shutoff policies, et cetera, that were changing, this one's a little bit more straightforward. So there is a track changes version in the packet. The list of the overarching changes are on the first page of the memo, and Eric can answer any technical questions if you have any about the actual code amendment sections.
No questions. It's rather technical, I take it. Brad has had a chance to look at this, review it, you know, from the practical side. Eric, you've gone through this procedurally from everything that you guys have been experienced over 20 years or so. So this is all update, cleanup. Nothing seemed to be unusual reading through it, so I have no issues.
Correct. Yeah, we strictly updated the code. There's nothing fancy about sanitary sewers, so we just kind of updated it to the new standards.
Beaver, are you okay with this?
Good job.
Okay. Proceed to council with it.
Okay.
All right. We have no old business. Is there any additional business? I have nothing. Chris?
Nothing here.
Beaver?
Nothing.
Okay. Then I'll adjourn the meeting at 6:37.
Thank you.